Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
But we do.
Here's John Williams.
This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We're 18 stories above the Chicago River. It's another lovely day in Chicago as we look out at the streets and the lake. And we remind you, this show is here till 3. Saturdays, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. By the way, not to talk technical stuff as we start the show, but Elif, the talkback isn't working, and it sounds like we're locked in because I'm only getting the show in one ear. So I'll let you run around and fix that once we get started with the bit we're going to play before you run away. Busy show for you today. A friend of mine is really good on soccer. We'll ask him, okay, so as a not knowledgeable fan of soccer, what should we know about the tournament so far and the game this weekend? Like, if I am going to watch it, who should I be looking for? What should I be noticing? Tell me something about it. So we'll make World Cup for Dummies at 1:30 this afternoon. And then, an hour from that, around 2:35, we'll give you some fun things to do this weekend. Violetta and Elif work on that real hard for us on Fridays. Good grief, do we have a lot of things to do this weekend. And we usually limit it to about 4 each. So maybe 10, 12, 15, maybe 20 things for you to do this weekend. You got the Taste, you've got the Southport Arts Festival, you've got another rib thing. There's stuff going on this weekend. And then we'll do the bright side where you call in and tell us some good news while you're smiling. Sarah here just handed me a sheet that said a moment ago, you can get your tickets for another conversation with our old friend Thomas Jefferson. We've added a show, so you can not only go at 10 a.m., you can also go at 1 p.m., or you could just pick one show. At the College of DuPage, tickets are on sale for both of them now. Go to WGNradio.com/events. But I don't normally mention the phone number when we are reminding you that you can get tickets to that. So here's the Mac box office, which is open from noon to 6 today. It's open now. It'll be open from noon to 6 tomorrow, too. The number is 630-942-4000, 630-942-4000. You want to get tickets to Thank You, Thomas Jefferson. We needed that. Call that number right now, 630-942-4000. You will thank me. A lot of politics in the news as the president travels the world. I don't want to talk politics today, and we won't much. It's Friday, and the weather's lovely. Plus, it's not only hard to keep up with it all, but it's also hard to know what's important and what is bluster, right? It made us think of John Mulaney's description of Donald Trump's presidency as a horse in a hospital. So we'll start with that here and then segue to the president at his last rally, where he was mocking the idea that he's not prepared for his visit with Vladimir Putin. And then we'll tag that with Rod Rosenstein's announcement today that in addition to more than 100 criminal counts against 32 people and 3 companies, and in addition to the 3 Trump associates who have already pleaded guilty, the Deputy Attorney General of the United States has now announced new charges against 12 Russian intelligence officers. They are accused of hacking the DNC and the Clinton campaign. The witch hunt keeps finding witches. It is a crazy time.
To me, it's like there's a horse loose in a hospital. I think everything's going to be okay, but I have no idea what's going to happen next. And, like, none of you know either. Like, we've all never not known together. And on the news, they try to get people. They're like, we have a man here who once saw a bird in an airport. It's like, get the hell out of here. This is a horse loose in a hospital. And we're all like, it's not good.
There are worse things. But there are worse things.
Yes, but it's confusing. Yes. Because every day we just have to follow the horse. And some days it's like, the horse used the elevator. You're like, is the horse... You know those days where you're like, is the horse smart?
Obama couldn't be. They wouldn't see him. They wouldn't see him. They wouldn't see him. So I met. That's how
we got beaten. Now they're saying it with Putin. Well, Putin is highly prepared. And Trump, will he be prepared for the meeting? Trust me, we'll do just fine. We'll do just fine. Fake news. Bad people.
And then we're all just like, why hasn't the horse catcher caught the horse? And then the horse is like, I have fired the horse catcher. And you're like, that shouldn't be a thing.
The indictment was returned today because prosecutors determined that the evidence was sufficient to present these allegations to a federal grand jury. Our analysis is based solely on the facts, the law, and Department of Justice policies. On my remarks, I have not identified the victims. When we confront foreign interference in American elections, it's important for us to avoid thinking politically as Republicans or Democrats, and instead to think patriotically as Americans. Our response must not depend on which side was victimized. The internet allows foreign adversaries to attack America in new and unexpected ways. There will always be adversaries who seek to exacerbate our divisions and try to confuse, divide, and conquer us. So long as we are united in our commitment to the values enshrined in the Constitution, they will not succeed.
Well put. I think he actually, his piece went longer than that, obviously, but we at least got you the thrust of what Rod Rosenstein was saying. I say Rod Rosenstein. Steve, will you be saying Rosenstein or Rosenstein?
It's amazing to me. Steen is what I think it is, but that is one of those names that the country, everyone's using the name. We can't agree on how to use it.
I think you're absolutely right. And here's what I've done. I've put in my head, you know, is this a mnemonic device? It's something that helps you remember how to hear or say something. I have an image of Rod Rosen, that guy, hoisting a beer, which to me is a stein. So I put that in there in my brain. So it's John. It's remember that it's Rod Rosenstein. We're having a beer with Rod.
Well, that's a great
device
tool to use.
Absolutely.
If it's correct.
That's my problem.
Right.
I don't remember if I remembered that to remember that it's not that, which I do sometimes think I'm not having a beer with Rod Rosenstein because it's Rosenstein, or I'm having a beer with Rod Rosenstein because it's Stein. So I'm not sure. The Rod Man, the Deputy Attorney General. That's what we'll call him. But I thought he spoke pretty eloquently, and how tricky the timing is, that as the president goes off to have that meeting with Vladimir Putin, his good buddy, or not, I can't tell, they announced 12 Russian intelligence officers have also been indicted in hacking tied to the Clinton campaign and the DNC. He said, in America, you are presumed innocent, even if you're charged, until you are proven guilty, and you are presumed innocent if you are not charged as well. And he said, we won't name the victims here either because we don't want to get into the politics of it. But I presume the victims are the people of the United States and Hillary Clinton. And he's not even going to mention her by name when he's standing up there at the microphones because that will become a political football and he doesn't want to play. The president, when he was addressing the world with Theresa May this morning, our time, did you watch or hear any of that press conference live? But there's something funny in the president's brain. He actually mentioned again that he beat Hillary Clinton by a lot, and that if she had been president, the trade or something would be going down, but with him it's going up. Maybe it was the NATO contribution to the total budget for European defenses, but whatever it was, Trump had to mention that because nobody asked, but he's got this thing in his head and he can't stop touching it. 12 intelligence officers indicted in the hacking tied to the Clinton campaign. So that's where that story is today. But like we said, we don't have to talk politics today. Although there's just one other thing I want to get out of the way. The Stormy Daniels story, which is not important, that's bluster. But I didn't exactly understand why the charges have been dropped from Stormy Daniels. Let me see if I got this right. She's in Columbus, Ohio. She's doing her show. She takes her top off. People pay money to see it. That's the world you live in and have lived in for a while. There are a couple of undercover police officers there. And when she goes to their table, they and her breasts come in contact, which you're not supposed to do. You're not supposed to touch the women there, or they're not supposed to touch you there. And when that happens, they arrest her and charge her and send her to jail. If she were to be convicted, she'd face a $1,000 fine. She was released on $6,000 bail. But prosecutors say they're dropping the case because, and here's the part I don't understand, Ohio's law against physical contact between strippers and customers applies only to someone who regularly performs at a club. In her case, it was her first appearance at Sirens of Columbus. So, what's that? Why would you distinguish between somebody who's there all the time and somebody who's just bouncing through town? But for some reason, they have that rule. They didn't realize that was a distinction in the law. And so Kim Jacobs, the Columbus police chief, said that one element was missed. It was a mistake. I accept full responsibility. Here's the last two paragraphs of the Sun-Times story about it today. Officers were well within their area of responsibility when making the arrest, the chief added. But she said the officers' motivations were reviewed internally, or will be. Their motivations. Without providing details, she said unsubstantiated allegations about the motivations were circulated on social media. Daniel's lawyer, Michael Avenatti, called for an investigation into the arrest, saying some of the officers had what appeared to be very pro-Trump social media pages. Police said Daniels, whose real name is Stephanie Clifford, smacked the faces of the two female officers and one male officer with her bare breasts during the Wednesday night show. Police said two other dancers were arrested along with Daniels. Why they went out of their way to arrest her makes no sense to me. Do you remember earlier this week we were talking about the case of the people that were on the plane? Violetta, you and Domitia and I were talking about this. And we talked about it on the Saturday show, too. It's the story of the woman that gets on a plane. She wants to sit with her boyfriend. They don't have adjacent seats. She asks somebody who was going to sit next to her boyfriend, hey, would you switch with me? And they do. So now she's sitting with her boyfriend and two strangers are sitting next to each other in front of them. And during the flight, she's on Instagram or Twitter and she's posting pictures and video and she's describing the budding romance between the two people who are now randomly sitting next to each other in front of her. It's really fun. It's really cheeky. It's sweet, I thought. And a lot of you didn't feel the way I did about it. A lot of you said it was pretty creepy and inappropriate. These are two people who are or are not flirting on a plane, but they didn't ask to be part of a social media storm. And unbeknownst to them, as the plane was flying through the air, the woman behind them is posting pictures saying, oh my God, they're sharing views on their phones. They're touching elbows. Ooh, they're ordering from the same menu. So she was sort of drumming up this romance, this budding romance.
It was not a budding romance. It was just two people. Have you ever sat in the middle seat? I always touch the people on both sides of me. I basically almost fall asleep on one person.
Do you lean into them and go, wow, your mom's hot too?
I mean, maybe.
So a lot of us wanted to believe it was that. Social media capturing an innocent flirtation. Neither of them had wedding rings on. But boy, the more I thought about it or talked to you all about it, the more you said, John, that's just creepy. That's a violation of their privacy. And now the woman who was sitting in the front of this couple, the woman that was doing the flirting, she's put out a statement saying, I did not ask to be part of this story. I don't want to be part of this story. People have tracked me down on the internet and in person, and I don't like it. So I guess I need to learn and respect that. It's 121. This is WGN. Thomas Jefferson on stage with yours truly, and you too, at the College of DuPage, August 18th. Oh, he said something very funny last time he was in town. I'll let you hear that in a minute. Thomas Jefferson on stage with me at the College of DuPage, Saturday, August 18th. Right now, they're selling the 1 o'clock show and the 10 a.m. show. You can call 630-942-4000, 630-942-4000. He and I were on stage, and I asked him what it was like running for president in, you know, 1799 or 1803.
When I agreed to stand for the presidency, Madison was pushing me forward. He was my closest friend, and we both agreed that the Federalists needed to be retired. And when he finally persuaded me to do it, which I did not want to do, I have no more desire to govern men than to ride my horse through a blizzard. I regarded the presidency the way you regard jury duty. You know, you'll do it because you should, but you don't enjoy it, and if you can weasel out of it, you do. That's how I saw it, and so when he said, you must do this, I said, I will agree to stand for this office on one condition, that I need make no public appearances.
So then what did you put on your hat? What would be your campaign slogan?
What would my slogan be? Jefferson and agriculture.
Jefferson and agriculture?
Yes.
What would your other hat say? That's
slightly better than Adams.
Yeah.
I'm serious. I mean, I didn't have slogans, of course. It was Jefferson and Liberty. There were songs, Jefferson and Liberty, and there were some banners and some parades and some effigies and so on. I had nothing to do with any of that. I never asked for a vote. I never asked for a campaign contribution. I never gave a speech.
Yeah.
I just went about my business at Monticello. But there was some kind of a minor campaign in New York and Philadelphia and Boston, but not in the backcountry, probably. And Jefferson and Liberty was the notion because I was regarded as wanting more liberty for the people, and Adams a little less. And he believed that the people need a little less. I believe they need a great deal more. I don't think we've ever really turned humans loose to see what they're capable of, and he regarded that as a nightmare scenario. So the average person didn't know what we looked like, didn't know what we sounded like, had never met us, didn't really have any sense of the national government. Most people were of a township, of a county, of a state. But to the extent that anyone really knew what was happening, they knew that I was the more democratic of the two and that Adams was the more pessimistic of the two. And they decided I was a little more desirable at that moment than Adams.
And then just before the election, the FBI looked into your email.
But the mails were open. I don't know if you know this. The post offices were notoriously corrupt. We didn't have any. It wasn't a felony to tamper with the mail. So I would write a letter, and we didn't really have envelopes. We would seal them. But I'd write a letter and send it. When it went to the post office, you could bet that it would be opened by the postmaster, and often read aloud to the people who happened to be there. And then people would take out extracts. They would copy out portions of it and publish them in newspapers or send them in garbled form to other people. So you could not count on a letter remaining private.
Kind of interesting, huh? Thomas Jefferson on stage, and I don't know what he's going to be talking about next time. It depends on what you ask at the College of DuPage on August 18th. One more time, the number to call for tickets, 630-942-4000. By the way, remember when President Trump told the Russians at a press conference, he said, listen, if you're listening, this is before he became president, it was in July of 2016. And Donald Trump famously said,
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
Well, that's all you've got. I thought there was more than that. There is more than that? Play it again if you can play more than that.
I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
Okay. I thought there was more than that, too. But anyway, so that was July 27th of 2016. That is the same day that Russia did just that. This indictment that Rosenstein has says that day Trump said that, Russia hackers for the first time attempted to break into the email accounts, including those used by Clinton's personal office and her presidential campaign. Notably, the indictment, there's 12 people indicted, specifies that the hack happened in the evening, meaning that Russian officials could have done it after Trump's press conference. Could be just a coincidence, right? He could have just said that, and then they did that. Or maybe they were listening and thought, okay, what the hell? Let's give it a shot. I don't know what the word for hell is in Russian, but you get the idea. And so if that's the case, maybe it doesn't make him complicit in anything. In fact, if he was in cahoots with the Russians, maybe he would not have said that. He would not have publicly outed himself, sending a signal to the Russians.
Well, except the more damning thing was, and I don't know if it was at that event, it might have been, where he said that he was going to have a news conference where there was big stuff coming up.
And that stuff never did come up, though,
but
right?
That was in conjunction. The timing was in conjunction with the Trump Tower meeting.
Oh,
you know, the meeting was set up, and then he came out and said, "Hey, we're going to have something really big next week."
Then the meeting was a bust.
And then the meeting happened. The meeting was a bust, and they never had the big event. That's the most damning of it. But so, do you think there's like a bunch of Russians sitting around sharing a bottle of vodka, and they hear the president say it, and they're like, let's give it a shot.
Hey, Larry, go ahead and just hit
like,
the button.
Let's go to Milwaukee to go to the Brewers game.
Hit
spur
send.
The moment.
Hit send. Road trip.
Now, one other thing.
Usually you have sort of code, like the black dog barks at midnight, and that's the signal. But Trump just goes, okay, Russia, hit send. Go ahead. Launch. I'm sorry, Steve.
So it's interesting that this comes at this time, right? The president's going to meet with Vladimir Putin in just a few days.
Right.
Rosenstein was asked about that, and he said that the president was very much aware of this, that he briefed him on the charges earlier this week.
So I understand.
So it wasn't like he's out of the country and they popped this.
Right. Although the trip was planned, so he's going to have to follow through on the trip.
Well, and I'll play this in the 2 o'clock news as well, but it gives more credence or weight to what the president was asked today about the meeting, and he said he absolutely will bring up the Russian meddling with Vladimir Putin.
Yeah, right.
And he said that, and we now know with knowledge that these indictments were coming.
So if you're wondering why the president is suddenly so interested in talking to Vladimir more specifically or forcefully about this, this may be the motivation.
That I can tell you.
Yeah. It's 140 on WGN. So I know a guy who knows soccer better than just about anybody. His name is Matt Negrin. He's a writer. He is a producer. He is currently a digital producer on The Daily Show. You may have read his pieces in The New Yorker and elsewhere. He joins us again on WGN Radio. Hi, Matt. It's John. How are you?
John, it's like hearing the voice of an old friend calling in a time of need.
I call you every 4 years when I'm in need.
It's our quadrennial radio hit.
I need to ask you about that, though. So in promoting this, I said to my friend Steve Bertrand, I said, Steve, we're going to have a friend of mine who I'm not sure is really a friend because I've never met him in person, and I only talk to him when soccer is interesting to Americans, which is not that often. But whenever
really?
I do, I so enjoy his company and conversation. I said, so I don't know if that makes you a regular guest or a friend. Can we call each other friends?
I'm happy to call you a colleague slash sometimes friend. I think that's not pushing the boundaries too much.
And I think we would be fast friends were we able to share a cup of tea or a beer or something someday.
Yeah, or some vodka in Russia, whatever happens.
Where are you? But you're in New York right now, right?
Yes, that's right.
Do you get to Chicago very often?
You know, this hurts to say this in public, but I was there last year and I didn't tell you. Yeah. And we could have had some Lumalnatis together.
This is what John does. He said you were quasi friends and you should have left it there, but you continue to ask questions and now you realize that he's really not your friend at all.
Yeah.
Remember the time I was interviewing Dennis Miller?
Yes. That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, I was too. Dennis Miller and I got along great, and we're having...
I bet you would, yeah.
And we're just having a swell time, and it was before he was the political commentator that he became, I think. But whatever it was, you could tell he and I were, like, connecting. And I said, Dennis, I said, what do you say? He goes, no.
Hey, next time you're in town.
I did the next time you're in town, and he said no. Here's a guy who, next time he was in town, didn't even let me know.
I figured you were busy. You know, you got a radio show. You know,
actually, we met up and talked about you.
You and so has this been a good World Cup? I mean, when we look back at 2018 in Russia, what are they going to say about the tournament this time?
Game, as far as the games go, it's the best World Cup of my lifetime. I'm 31. These are the best games I can remember. All the big players were kicked out way early on. The upsets were awesome. That's what we always root for, the underdog, right? We always root for the Cinderella stories. You had Iceland tying Argentina. I know that ties aren't very exciting in American sports, but tying Argentina, one of the best teams in the world, is insane, considering that Iceland's population is like 300,000. It's like the size of a medium, middle American city. And they were able to tie one of the best teams in the world. Germany was beat by Mexico. They didn't even make it to the playoff round. I mean, the games have been so exciting that even though the U.S. isn't in it, and that's one reason that I think a lot of people have not been watching, it's still been just great soccer. And soccer's a great sport. And I love talking to you about it every 4 years, and I think other people like watching it every 4 years, too. Even if you don't know anything about it, it's still fun.
I wonder if this may sound counterintuitive, but the fact that the U.S. didn't make it made it a little more interesting, because now my son has France in his pool. We're forced to learn about, you know, we would only be watching the American games, but now people got wrapped up in the Croatia game, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I had France in my pool, too. And I don't think anyone thought Croatia would make it this far. And in case people are wondering what the difference between these countries are, France is ranked seventh. Their team is ranked seventh in FIFA, and Croatia is ranked 20th. That's a very big difference. It might even be bigger than it actually seems. France is a very good team, and their country has 67 million people. Croatia only has 4 million people. That makes a huge difference when you're talking about the talent pool of people who can play for these teams. Normally, small countries don't do well because they don't have a lot of people who are playing soccer growing up, compared with, you know, places like Brazil and Spain that have tons of people obsessed with soccer, and then the best ones do really well and go to good teams, and then they come back and play for the country in the World Cup. So the idea that Croatia is in the final and is playing France it should be exciting for kind of any casual sports viewer. The idea that you could have the biggest upset in soccer history if they manage to win. There have been 20 World Cups and only 8 countries have ever won. And it's kind of like who you imagine it would be, you know, Brazil and Germany and France won once, England won once. These are kind of like Argentina, they've won before. Like, these are kind of the teams you expect to win. Croatia's never even been in the final, and they might never be in it again. So,
is there a country that is the New York Yankees of international soccer? Is that Brazil?
It might be. It's interesting because when you say Yankees, it's like money has a lot to do with it. And certainly Brazil puts out a ton of good players into the international market. The most popular or most famous player is Neymar. He's a young guy who's very, very skilled, obviously. He came from the favela. He came from like kind of the slums of Brazil and was so good that he was. I mean, one of the reasons that people love him is because he wasn't, you know, he wasn't born rich. He was born just very talented. He went on to play for a good team in Spain, and then came back to Brazil to play for the World Cup. And yeah, I mean, all of the players on Brazil are really, really strong. They've won, I don't know exactly how many, it might be like 5 or 6 times or something like that. And I think in 1998, the World Cup was in France. And that was the only time France ever won, and they ended up beating Brazil in the final. And it was a very good game, and France was like a huge underdog during that World Cup. And in the semifinal, to get to the final, France ended up beating Croatia. So that's kind of cool. So this is kind of like a rematch from 1998, 20 years later.
Well, the last World Cup was in Brazil, and there was concern about would they be able to pull it off. There were transportation, there were disease issues, there were weather issues, there were stadium and construction issues, et cetera, et cetera.
Crime. Yeah,
yeah, no kidding. I mean, people were actually worried about even going. How has Russia done? Have they hosted good games, would you say?
It looks like it, yeah. It looks like all of the big issues kind of surrounding Russia hosting the World Cup like haven't really amounted to much, which is good. It's good for soccer. Obviously, Russia is like a hugely complicated place and issue right now, and there were a ton of issues during the Sochi Olympics, and even one of the stadiums for the World Cup is actually in Sochi. But from all accounts, it seems that things have gone fine. That's not to say that, I mean, FIFA is the most corrupt organization in the world, and Russia is one of the most corrupt countries in the world. You put those two things together, like, I'm sure there's a ton of stuff going on that we'll never even find out
How
about.
Is Russia not in the championship right now? I thought Vladimir Putin would be playing for Russia in the championship, having won, 10-0 all of their games.
Yeah, they won their first game 5-0, and they were one of the worst. They're one of the worst teams in the world. So the host countries automatically qualify for the World Cup. So if you host it, you get in. And if you're not a good country, that's great for you because you might not qualify otherwise. And certainly Russia would probably not have qualified for this World Cup if they hadn't hosted it. But they did very well. And many people, including me, think it was pretty sketchy that they scored so many goals in their first game. And then in the first round, so after you play your first three games, you go into the knockout round, like the NCAA bracket, and it's win or go home. Their first game in the bracket is against Spain, one of the best teams in the world. A lot of people pick them to win the World Cup overall. They're wildly good. If you've watched them play, like, they pass like no other team. They're just very talented. And Russia ends up drawing with them, taking them into penalty kicks, which is what you do when there's a tie at the end of the knockout round, and they win. And that doesn't make any sense. There's plenty of reasons to suspect that there's very, I guess you could say, like, unsavory things going on. But I have no proof of it, and I would never.
You would never insinuate
publish anything that says it. Right? I would never say. Of course not. Yeah. But
by the way, somebody texted to us. Somebody texted a minute ago, and they said, "Hey, John, is it true that Russia killed thousands of street dogs to clean up their image before the Cup?" I didn't hear anything about that, but I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
I have no idea.
All right, so do me this favor. All right, how about this?
Yeah.
So I want to be a knowledgeable viewer Sunday.
Yes. Yes. You're going to go to a watch party, right? You're going to be with all your friends, and you want to sound smart about
who should I look for? What will be key? To give me some tips.
Okay. So I would say there are two players you can watch.
All right, hold on.
Hold on.
Okay. Wait. I got to get a number two pencil.
Okay.
I'm going to write this down. Stay put. Matt Negrin is a. What are you, Matt? I said that you are a digital producer for, you are described, as it says here, a writer, a producer, and a digital producer at The Daily Show. Do you regularly?
But before that, I did a lot of soccer stuff, and that's how we kind of got introduced. And I was kind of traveling around the world, living with really crazy soccer fans, and writing about meant to them.
By the way, I got to mention this. We just gave away White Sox tickets. Congratulations to Scott in Lake Zurich. Scott in Lake Zurich heard, along with a lot of you, "Don't Stop Believing." That's your cue to call. And Scott's got himself some tickets to the White Sox. So do you still, though, regularly write for whomever or talk about soccer?
I talk about it a lot. I kind of moved on to politics after I got back, and I was covering the election for Bloomberg, and so I kind of shifted gears. But like you said, it's kind of like every 4 years, it's hard to ignore the call of the World Cup. It's just so exciting. You can't ignore it.
So give me somebody or something to make me knowledgeable. You said there's going to be a couple players we should pay attention to.
Absolutely. And the first thing you should know is if you are going to watch the World Cup final, you will be one of possibly, well, let me ask you, how many people do you think watched the final in 2014, the final game around the
world? In 2014, I would say 75,000.
It was across the world, 1 billion people. And that is one of the biggest events of all time.
Wow.
And over the total World Cup, it was over 3 billion people watched it. So there's going to be a lot of people watching, not just in the U.S. U.S. team didn't make it, so it won't be as many people. But around the world, it's a huge event. So if you watch, you'll be part of something much bigger than yourself.
Got
so
it.
I would say, if you want to sound smart, or if you even just want to look for something cool during the game, the star players on each team are really fun. And we start with France. So France's most interesting player, I think, is this 19-year-old kid. His name is Mbappe, M-B-A-P-P-E. And he's literally a teenager, and he's got kind of this style of playing that's very fun to watch. He's a striker, so he'll hang out kind of at the front of the team's formation. So he'll be as close to the other team's, as close to Croatia's goal as possible. And sometimes when he gets the ball, he'll just kind of burst into this inhuman amount of speed, like the flash, and he'll just shoot across the field and drive it in and take a shot. And not a lot of players can do that, because even if you're fast, it's hard to run while you're dribbling the ball, which is very, and someone's chasing you. So normally when you're dribbling, it slows you down, but this guy is super, super fast, right, and he's so very fun.
France, yeah. 19-year-old Mbappe. Give me another name I need.
That's right. On Croatia, you're going to want to look for a guy named Modric. He's their star player, M-O-D-R-I-C. He's older. He's 32. He plays for Real Madrid. But he's got these great crosses that I like. You know, he takes good corner kicks. He takes really good free kicks for the team. It's kind of when, you know, there's very few rules in soccer. But when you get fouled, you get to take a free kick. And usually Modric is the one taking the free kicks for Croatia. And he's just very good. So I would look out for him. He's got long hair. He kind of wears a tiny little bandana. So, you know, you can point out to your friends like, oh, that's Modric. He's Croatia's star player. So look out for him. He's very fun to watch.
Who's going to win?
Yeah. You know, I would say you said you're going on a cruise next year on the sign in France. I would say there's a 95% chance you will be in the country with the world soccer champions next year. But I'm rooting for Croatia. I think it's always great to root for a team that's never been in the World Cup final before. So, and their fans are great. The Croatian fans, I spent a lot of time in Croatia before the World Cup in 2014, and they're amazing. I mean, they're pretty violent, but they have great chants. They, you know, I would talk to a couple guys, and what they would do is they would steal boat flares from boats before the game, and they would smuggle them into the stadium. This is like their local Croatia club, their Croatia team, and they would shove them down their pants to get them in because they all get frisked, and then they would take them out in the stadium, and they would just light them up, and the whole place would be covered in smoke. Sometimes they have to wait 90 minutes to play because they have to clear the smoke from the they have to wait for the smoke to clear. So they go nuts. And you might see shots of like the viewing party in Zagreb,
yeah,
the
right,
of Croatia,
right.
And you're gonna see a ton of smoke, a ton of flare, a lot of pink flares, pink smoke. So if you see that, that's what that is. It's not a fire, although they do light fires separately, but the flares are kind of the go-to in Croatia.
All right, Matt, I'm going to call you on another day, on another time, either to talk soccer, or maybe we'll follow you from The Daily Show and talk politics at another time.
Sounds great. Good to talk to you. I hope you have a good game on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to root for Croatia, but France is probably going to win. I got it.
That's the smart money.
Attaboy, Matt. Nice to talk to you, my friend.
Thanks. You too.
That's my friend, Matt Negrin, writer, producer, currently a digital producer at The Daily Show.
Thinking big thoughts. So you don't have to.
Well,
here's John Williams.
Actually, I'm going to need some help with this. First, this. Hi, it's John. Until 3, Saturdays, 10 a.m. till noon on WGN Radio. On social media, it's WGN King John. We record a podcast on Thursdays. We dropped it last night. It's called The Mincing Rascals. Have you listened to The Mincing Rascals? The gang talked a lot about that story at the Forest Preserve Park where the woman was setting up for her birthday party and the knucklehead comes up and says those bigoted, bullying things to her. We'll talk about that in The Mincing Rascals podcast. You can hear a spirited discussion about what went down there and what should have gone down there. In fact, we'll talk about that a little more in just a minute. Let's see here. You know what else we're going to talk about on our show on Saturday? We've got a doctor coming on to talk about, you know how you see all those people wearing earbuds these days? Like when you're on the train or just going around town? Seems like everybody's got earbuds in. And my wife and I were talking about this, and we said, I wonder if what's going to happen to the world is what happens to people in broadcasting. You get to a certain age, if you've been in the business long enough, and your hearing starts to go. Because you've been jamming noise into your head for a lifetime. Well, that's what everybody is doing now. And I was talking to this audiologist from Northwestern today. And she's going to join us tomorrow at 10:30. If you know someone who spends a lot of time with earbuds in their head, tomorrow morning at 10:30, you want to be listening to that.
But don't you think evolutionary, maybe our bodies develop something to answer to the technology?
Yeah, but
I mean, it's going to take some time.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't think we have that much time.
Species evolve, but they don't do it like over the next 10 years. You want to take that one back, Violetta, or are you going to keep that on your
record? No, I'm going to keep it. I think the aliens that will follow us will have much better hearing.
Okay, listen to this. What percentage of children in America have permanent hearing loss caused by mostly loud noise exposure? What percentage of children would you say in America today have some hearing loss? 20%. 20%?
Well, I have hearing aids.
I know you do.
And every time you see them, you say, oh, I should really get tested.
I know. Well, no, every time I see them, my wife says I should get tested.
Right.
Selective hearing, huh?
That's there's a lot going on there. Selective hearing is where you're able to hear the things you want to, and you seem to have trouble hearing when that's something you don't want to hear. I have this theory, though. I think what we have in America, as much as problems hearing, is problems speaking. I think a lot of people aren't speaking loud enough.
That's what people say, Violetta, before they have their hearing tested.
No, I'm serious.
You're not enunciating.
A lot of times, right. Like, you're in the other room, and you're looking at your feet, right. And you're saying something that, what, I'm supposed to hear?
And then you face it, get tested and fitted, and you say, oh, I understand now that I should have been able to
hear. I think
a lot
of us going in for hearing tests should bring our spouses and go, and I'd like them tested for volume.
Right.
I have a friend.
Oh, you want us to get louder.
Well, I just don't think you're speaking directly and loudly enough to the person.
Point taken.
My best friend actually speaks really calmly and quietly. You met her at your dance competition. And
she's a nice lady.
She's super sweet and super chill. And I can't hear her from 1 foot away. It's like,
okay,
come on, speak up.
Imagine the exclamation marks in the conversation between
Elif
and her friend who's sedate.
Apparently. Elif, are you loud compared to her?
Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
Seriously, though, that paints a good picture for you.
Yeah. But your friend was delightful. And the cutest thing about it, so we were at that dance competition to raise money to fight cancer and things like that. She was so thrilled. It's Dancing with the Chicago Celebrities. And the celebrity that she just got gooey about. I mean, she just got weak-kneed and she was just giggling was Ravi Bashwald.
She
got
obsessed.
To meet ABC's Ravi Bashwald, and who's a great guy and is a very good broadcaster and just couldn't be nicer. His wife is really fun. They're a great couple, and he's just a great ambassador for the thing. He wasn't even dancing this year, but he was there, and he was just doing it right. And so I came up to him and said, listen, Rav, any chance you could just... He says, oh, yeah, I'll come over. And she was just like, oh, my God. Oh, man.
She was sweating. She was like, oh, my God, he's doing it. He's going up to him.
He's coming. I know, and then when he started to come over, she just... But then, God bless her. She was awesome when they met. She was composed and chatty.
But then she almost fainted.
He seems really conscientious, though.
He's a good guy, Ravi Bashwald.
Okay. I'm really good at hearing whispers. Like, if someone's whispering in the other room, somehow I pick it up like a...
I'll tell you something else about hearing. So again, 10:30 tomorrow morning, an expert talks about, are we all doing to ourselves even more damage because we've got headphones drilled into either side of our skull and we're listening to either spoken word or we're listening to music, right? So there's an article in Time magazine about this, and they said that 48 million Americans currently have problems hearing. Now I'm thinking, all right, how many Americans... Elif, you looked this up yesterday, right? Can you tell us, Elif, how many Americans are there in the United States currently today? That's what we need.
325.7 million, John.
All right, 325.7 million. And there's 48 million. So one in eight people currently have problems hearing. One in eight. And 20% of kids. And are we making it worse? And by the way, then what are your options, too? Like, okay, what are we going to do about this at 10:30 tomorrow morning? Steve Bertrand in the news just a moment ago was playing the audio from the press conference of that woman who was badgered by that knucklehead bigot at the Forest Preserve. And she's got an interesting point, doesn't she? She's upset that while he quits, there's no need to further investigate and fire the guy, but I think she feels denied due process here. She wants a bigger stage for what actually happened. Steve, I'm not sure if you're listening just now.
Yeah.
If you have the soundbite from her, I thought, you know, there's something very interesting about this.
All right, you want to hear it?
Yeah, go ahead and play what she said at the press conference.
I will never get to hear from this man, this protector, his reasoning for why my safety, no, my life, had such little value to him. Why an American citizen could not reap the benefits of the police force when it was most needed.
I just think one of the things that gets lost in this story is who's the bad guy here? The bad guy to me is Timothy Tribus. He's the guy that was harassing her. The police officer quit his job, Patrick Connor, and I suppose Patrick has to go away now.
Yeah, but if you have a bad guy, who was the good guy?
Well, there was no good guy in this story.
Right,
but
and
I mean,
that's where the fault is.
But all the focus is on this officer, this force preserve officer.
Well,
and I think the focus should be on this Tribus guy.
I don't know. I mean, there are going to be drunks and bigots and problem makers. And then there are going to be the people who we pay to protect us from those. And I think the person we pay to protect us from those probably has a greater responsibility. So
disappointed us more because that's the person that should at least safeguard us from those other idiots.
He's the line. He's the person. Yeah, yeah, he's the protector. Now, having said that, I don't know that this was a fireable offense.
And, oh, hello.
And I think I probably said that with you earlier this week.
I don't recall you backing me up when I was making that point on the Mincing Rascals podcast.
Well, John, I'm glad I made an impression because I wasn't on the Mincing Rascals podcast with you this week.
Maybe that's why you didn't come to my defense.
But bluntly, what she said sounds like talk before you file a lawsuit. I mean, if what she's worried about is the public being protected, this bad protector's now gone.
Mm-hmm.
If it's her, I mean, being able, I mean, it's, you know, she was subjected to something terrible, but it's not as if she was tortured or raped or something like that where she needed to face her.
He never touched her that we could see on the video.
Right. So I don't know how she would be made more whole if she could confront the officer at some sort of public hearing. I don't know how that would help her.
She is 24 years old. Very young, very cool, calm and collected in that video. And I wonder if that is something that almost works against her. You know, when we were doing the podcast, Steve, and again, it's the Mincing Rascals.
Listen to the Mincing Rascals.
It's quite a podcast. It was determined by the Headliner Club in Chicago as the Lissagore Award-winning best podcast in the city. And that's a fact. So the gang was talking about this. And Eric Zorn said, imagine how that officer would have behaved if the harasser were a young black male and the victim were a white female. Do you think the cop would have stood there as a black guy was antagonizing a white female? He said, I don't think so. I said, I hate that we're all trying to mine the motivation of this guy. Was he hesitant to intervene because he's a racist or because it's easier to imagine a person of color putting up with that? I don't know that. I don't want to go down that road because it's unknowable for me, and he hasn't said that. So I'm trying to keep this story in some sort of perspective. That's been the challenge all along. But in the Sun-Times today, they said she's declined interview requests since the video went viral. She said during that live-streamed conversation with a friend on Tuesday that she was genuinely fearful for what could have happened to me. I knew at that moment, she said, that if I had acted out in an aggressive way, in a defensive way, just to protect myself from being put in harm's way, I probably would have been criminalized by the officer. I think this would have helped her at the time. If she was this guy was genuinely threatening her. I mean, I'm amazed when you watch the video that this guy didn't hit her, that he didn't do something physical or violent because he seemed so upset. He seemed so angry at this lady.
Well, right? And he kept approaching her,
yes,
getting closer and closer. She's,
yes,
backing up. Now she's not even under the tented area. She's in the grass and he's continuously coming towards her. The police officer at this point is behind both of them,
yeah,
still back by his,
right,
car.
Right. If this guy takes a swing at her, he is
25 feet away.
The officer is in no way able to help her. The officer is not in a defensive position to help her. Not a chance. This guy gets free rein on her before the officer gets there to intervene.
He's barely looking at the situation.
I know.
She's talking directly to him. Now, I don't know if the reason he was skittish is because he knew she had a camera. I know that I've heard from people that officers will say, like, don't film me, put that away. So I don't know if that was a conversation prior to the clip that we saw. So if that's why he was
being
ignoring
tentative,
her.
Right. You know, that's funny, too, because when officers act violently, and a lot of times that's their job, that will haunt them. Now, though, the drunk white guy is going to sue him for beating him up for no reason. So maybe that makes an officer tentative. It has a reverse impact. But I think this also worked against her. She was so cool, calm, and collected. I mean, remember, while she's being threatened here, while her well-being is seriously threatened, she's talking to a friend and live streaming it on Facebook. She would have maybe done herself a favor if she put the phone down and screamed help. But she didn't do that because she was getting this awesome video. I'm not impugning her motives at all. I'm not saying bad things about her. I'm saying as a sort of...
But by her staying calm,
how do I save myself here? Well, maybe so. But no, I'm saying if she really wanted that officer to get involved, if she really wanted help, you put the phone down and you yell help.
Right.
Or you run to the officer.
How threatened are you really if you're standing there with the guy calmly talking to a police officer 25 feet away?
But yeah. See, when you point that stuff out, then it diminishes the badness of that guy.
I know, that's I know.
She's a young girl alone in a forest preserve with these two men, one of who is insanely drunk, yelling at her, approaching her, one who doesn't care at all about the situation and is there to protect her. I mean, she can't feel more alone other than her live streaming.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's her fault at all for keeping it together. Just because someone has composure doesn't mean that the situation isn't wrong.
I'll pause. We'll come back. We'll take your calls and read your texts. 312-981-7200. This is WGN. If you ever want to make the newsman at this radio station flip out, come up to him after a controversial story involving a public official like a forest preserve officer and say,
what about the pension?
That text is just poured in. And I think you at home now know you don't really care about the pension of that officer. You just want to hear Bertrand say,
what about the pension?
As though that's the most important thing here. We'll pick up some phone lines in a second. 312-981-7200. This week, Chicago's best team is checking out donuts from around the world. Don't miss an all-new episode of Chicago's Best. That's this Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. And that's all I need to read for now, right, Producer Elif? I got an American lung read somewhere. I do not see it. So I will read it when I find it. In the meantime, do me this, Elif. Because the news click yesterday asked if you think that guy should be fired. Obviously, he's quit. But as I recall, 51% of you said that guy should be fired. I was in the category of that guy should keep his job but be reprimanded. Maybe go a month without pay, the Forest Preserve officer. But we'll never get to know how that plays out because he quit before any of that happened. We have a new news click. If you go to WGNradio.com or follow me on social media, I'm WGN King John on Facebook, you'll see our news click, a daily web poll question posted each day. And today we're asking, do you like President Trump's idea for the new Air Force One design? Air Force One, if you imagine it in your head, is kind of a white jumbo jet with a blue line that runs horizontally down the plane, and then in dignified letters it says the United States of America.
It's got kind of a light blue canopy on the top.
Has a 1960s vibe, if you will. In fact, it was the design of Jackie Kennedy. Donald Trump is no Jackie Kennedy. He doesn't like that. So he's got a new design that he wants, and we've posted it on our Facebook and WGN radio website pages, and it's of a screaming eagle with talons and bright blues and reds and oranges and yellows and blacks. And that is the entire front part of the plane. Imagine if an angry, screaming eagle were coming at you. This is no 1960s Kennedy's flight, Jack. This is Donald Trump, and he's coming to get you.
It is so tacky.
We asked you what you thought of that. Do you like the design or not? Now, I don't mean to prime the pump. Maybe you think it's swell, and I don't want to influence the voting. Although Scott Stannis, the editorial cartoonist at the Chicago Tribune, said in our Mincing Rascals podcast, it reminds him of the sort of art you would see on the side of a van in the 1970s.
Wait, I'm just looking at this. Is this serious?
No, here's what it is. It's a group of people's predictions for what it will look like based on his demand for it to be blue, white, and red, white, and blue.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I thought that was a Trump-endorsed design. I'm misreading the news.
It's just what people are
that design conjecturing. That design that we've posted is a conjecture of what it would be. It is not the president's approved design of the plane.
Right.
Oh,
so
well,
on
now,
the...
Then I've misrepresented...
See how it happens? No, really. I mean...
I know. I'm today part of the problem. Well, so with that... Okay, then I'm going to take it down or amend it, Steve.
I already amended it when I found out.
I didn't mean that
morning.
In a bad way, John. I mean, this is how it happens.
What happens?
You get fooled. You fill things in. You think something is true.
Yeah, but I'm part of the problem. I should have quadruple checked that.
We're all part of the problem at one time or another. That's my point. We're easily duped.
Yeah, but I think some of us have a responsibility to not be, and I just failed. Ella, so what is the question then associated with it now?
Do you like President Trump's possible idea for a new Air Force One design?
It's not his possible idea.
Yeah, I think we still need to. I think we need to say some silly people.
What if we ask? What do you think President Trump's plane will look like?
Or do you like this design? Some folks out there think this would be a good. That's my Barack Obama. Now look. Some folks out there think this would be a good way to change the plane. Could you tell that was Barack Obama? Anyway, Elif, what are the results on the news click as written?
Do you like President Trump's possible idea for a new Air Force One design? A, yes, 10%. B, no, 90%.
So 1 out of 10 are going, yeah, baby, bring it. Bring it.
But yeah, on
bring the screaming eagle.
In the news click, it says, click here for a graphic of what people think President Trump's new Air Force One will look like.
Yeah, but I feel bad about this now because I don't think I've been accurate in my depiction of what's happened there.
I really like the old plane because it looks like a spaceship. Like it looks... Yeah.
I just think it looks it's
dignified.
Me, well, yes, if you are the biggest dog, you don't need to bark real loud. We are the United States of America. We don't need to have any fancy or aggressive or overly nationalistic decals on our plane. That it says the United States of America, that's all you need to know, Jack. The US has arrived. That's all we need. We don't need that. We've been talking about what happened in that forest preserve, and a couple of you had some comments and calls and questions. We'll go to Eric. You're on WGN Radio. Hey, Eric, you're on the air. Hold on a second. Let me try. Hey, Eric, you're on WGN.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Good. Talk to me, Eric. What do you want to say?
I think they're both in the wrong, that Travis guy was in the wrong because, you know, he was drunk and everything, and he came after her. The police officer is also wrong because he didn't intervene.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my thing is, you know, you're an officer. She asks for help. Yes, she's calm and she's collect, which is a good thing. She's trying not to draw attention. She's trying not to draw a big scene.
Yeah, she's not exactly right. It's not going to get worse by anything she said. That's for
right.
Sure.
And the fact that she's recording, well, the whole thing is, she's doing that to cover her tracks, so that way she, you know, that way it's not saying from the officer, well, she did this and she did that. At least if the guy was to hit her or was to do whatever, that the drunk guy,
Do
you think she was in fear of being hit because, well, do you think so?
You're asking me or our caller or both, I guess. Yeah. Do I think she was in fear of being hit?
Do you think she felt that she was in danger?
It's impossible to answer that, Steve. I mean, she's not active. She
continues to engage him in conversation.
Right, but she wasn't saying, hey, buddy, she wasn't.
No, but she was saying, hey, we're Puerto Rico. You know, we were entitled. We're Americans, of course. She continued to converse with him. She didn't attempt to flee in any way or get closer to the unacting officer, which may or may not have been a good idea.
Well, that's kind of the point I was trying to make.
Should have been there for you yesterday, John.
Let's do this. We'll pause. Thanks for the phone call. I'm glad you were able to join us on WGN, Eric. I'm glad you called. We'll pause. Steve, it's time for you to do the news. After the news, we've got some fun things to do in town this weekend. Boy, what a great weekend it will be in the Chicago area. We'll run down our list as we do on Fridays, and then we'll do the bright side. You'll call in, tell us some good news while you're smiling, and we will smile with you. John Williams here. You know, Steve, just a moment ago I said that maybe I misrepresented what was actually happening in the news click when we posted the image of Air Force One and said this is Donald Trump's design. At least that's how I was talking about it. Elif was in front of that and changed the language so that I think the post was more accurate than what I was saying on the radio. Anyway, 224 texted John, if you were on Fox News, you would have said nothing after learning that truth. And from 708, if his design is anything like the video he made for Kim Jong-un, God help us, said Lori. That's why that's so believable. I mean, this is the president that is on the 11th of November going to have a military parade, the likes of which Kim Jong-un would give thumbs up. That thing is still planned, by the way. And that video you thought was a parody, it was for real. So when I saw that design, I thought, yeah, and Politico was reporting it, but maybe I didn't read through clearly enough. By the way, about the Forest Preserve officer, the man, and the woman, these texts have also come in. Hey, John, my husband and I were robbed on a street corner years ago. I was so calm, paying attention to everything that the robbers were telling us. Afterwards, I realized how serious the situation really was. We were told if we scream door where we should, we were told if we screamed, we would be shot. John, think about it, says another texter. Has there been a huge outcry against the drunken bigot? No, because he is white male. If instead that had been a young black man assaulting a white female, there would have been a huge outcry. Yeah, maybe so. Let's talk about some fun things to do in town this weekend.
Wasting away again in margaritas.
I think I know I was just playing this one.
Searching for my lost
sheep. Do you want to do the honors?
No. You're playing the music. You always go first. What do we got here?
This is Jimmy Buffett, and he'll be playing Wrigley Field tonight at 7. A pack of four tickets costs only $24.
I didn't know that. Really? You can get in there for 24 bucks?
Yeah.
Violetta, give us something you like to do this weekend.
Well, also at Wrigley, but this is tomorrow, Journey and Def Leppard are playing Saturday night, 6 p.m. Tickets range from $25 to $300, and you can get them pretty much anywhere online, but VividSeats.com has a bunch.
I'll do another big obvious one. Taste of Chicago runs through the 9th. It runs through Sunday at 9. Admission is free. You can get 14 food tickets for $10. The Flaming Lips performed this weekend. All right, Elif, your turn.
Windy City Smokeout is today through Sunday. Tickets start at $45, and details are at WindyCitySmokeout.com.
Violetta, go.
We have Roscoe Village Burger Fest. That is all weekend long, starting at 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Belmont and Damon in Roscoe Village. And it looks like it's free, and it's going to be a lot of burgers.
A lot of pubs in town are having watch parties for the World Cup. The Globe Pub, of course, in North Center. They've got food and drink specials throughout the weekend. Cleo's in the Ukrainian Village is doing one. Fado in River North? They've got food and drink specials throughout the games, which end this weekend. Elif, go.
Chinatown Summer Fair starts at 10 Sunday, and it's free, 10 a.m.
Chinatown Summer Fair, that looks pretty good. Is anybody doing the Southport Art Festival? Violette, are you going to do that one?
No, take it.
They're having an art festival in Southport.
Wow, that sounds great. I'll be there.
I don't know much more about it, but Google it. That looks pretty good to me. All right, V, your turn.
We have a boy band review at Brookfield Zoo. That looks kind of fun. It's on Saturday. It's 6 p.m. to 10. It's at Brookfield Zoo. Tickets right now are ranging from $25 to $12 for kids.
I'll do this one. Argyle Night Market at Sheridan and Argyle. The Argyle Night Market is going to be from 5 to 9 p.m. tonight, tomorrow night, and the next night. You get in for free. Argyle Night, the market show. One more from Elif. Go.
V103 Summer Block Party is tomorrow, and it features artists daily.
Bastille Day events are taking place at some spots around town, too, this weekend. Okay, so there's our recommendations for the weekend. Now it's time for you to tell us what's some good news in your world. Call me right now. Oh, no, we take a break, right? before we do the bright side, call me right now, or you can text your bright side, 312-981-7200.
Some things in life are bad.
Those folks.
They can really make you mad.
Joint Relief Institute.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
Are sponsoring the bright side.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle.
You're ready.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Everybody sing at home.
Always look on the bright side.
Kevin, do you know how to whistle? Whistle.
Always look on
not
the
too
light
bad.
I love whistling.
Evidently. All right, Kev, you got the mic. What's your bright side,
I got
friend?
A great weekend on tap, John. I've got golf tomorrow morning. No shocker there. And then I'm eating barbecue at the Windy City Smokeout. Then I'm covering the White Sox game on Sunday. Beautiful weekend.
You know, if you weren't here, we could just play that tape back every single weekend. Because
pretty much.
That's
I love the single life, John. I get to do what I want.
Violetta, what's the good news in your world? Why are you smiling?
Well, I'm going to the Windy City Smokeout, too, but I'm going to a concert with my friend there, and I'm pretty excited about it.
My bright side is I think my family is going to be at our place this weekend. We're going to roll the big ping pong table out, the outdoor table tennis facility. We'll play some ping pong. We'll have a little barbecue, celebrate my mom's birthday, have a belated Father's Day with my dad. We should have a really nice weekend. Oh, please, please don't rain. All right, Ms. Podramatic, you'll be reading the text, 312-981-7200. I'll take the phone calls. You want to go first, Violetta?
Yes, 847. My husband bought me flowers for no reason today. It made me smile.
Sue, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Sue? You're on the air.
I'm smiling because I'm going to my grandson's wedding up in Wisconsin this weekend. Yay! He's marrying the beautiful
when you're feeling in the dumps.
Let's go from Sue to Joanne. You're on WGN Radio. Hey, Joanne, why are you smiling?
I'm smiling because I'm going to be 58 tomorrow and single again and loving it.
Enjoy. Let's go to Joe. You're on WGN Radio. Joe, why are you smiling?
I'm smiling because my son, the band, is playing at the Square Roots Festival in Lincoln and Lawrence Avenue, and a Milwaukee brewer is coming out with a new beer called the Tossers, and that's the name of his band.
Enjoy it. It's your last chance.
Yeah, I hear that that's a going thing, that Square Roots in Lincoln Square. The Petersons said you got to go to that thing, and if the Petersons say you got to go, I say let's go. All right, your turn, Violetta. What do you like?
We have 847. I took a position at Lamb's Farm in Libertyville, and I've never been happier. Another 847 says, bright side, can you say baby balloon Trump?
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that something? Hey, Don, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling?
Hello, King John.
Hey.
You can also chalk this up under your things to do this weekend. There's a cruise night in Morris, Illinois that usually draws about 1,000 cars, and we're going to it.
I have seen that. That's a going thing. Yeah, 1,000 cars maybe, huh?
Might take my 1969 StarCraft boat over to it because a friend of mine has a 1970 International pickup truck that matches it.
Wow. What's your bright side? Is that it?
That's it. We're going. It's going to be a gorgeous night Saturday night, so come on out in the cornfields and look at some cool cars.
That's your Grundy County seat, boys and girls, in Morris, Illinois. Thank you, Don. Appreciate your listening. Appreciate your call. Hey, Chris, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
My bright side is that I'm turning 70. I've been walking dogs for 19 years, and I'm going to do it for as long as I can.
Always look on the right side.
All right, Violetta, your turn. What are we smiling about?
847, cleaning out the drunk the junk drawer today.
Wait a minute. Which drawer are we cleaning out again?
The junk drawer.
The junk drawer.
Yes. And then 708, I'm married to my best friend and the luckiest woman in the world. Thanks to 25 years, baby.
Scott, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Scott?
Oh, well, I won White Sox tickets from one John Williams about an hour ago.
I didn't get to, from Lake Zurich, right?
That's me. I know, and you just conveniently did not take my call at the time, which is fine. No problem there, but thank you so much.
I didn't mean to exclude you. In fact, my producer looked at me, and Elif's like, wait, I thought you were going to talk to this guy, but I was busy. I'm glad you called in on the bright side.
Thank you for taking it. Have a great weekend.
And that's the final word.
All right, Violetta, your turn. What are we smiling about?
I'm smiling because it's my 35th class reunion on Saturday night. That's from 224. 708 says, my daughter passed her summer term organic chem class with high grades. And then 773, retired today after 32 years of being a Chicago Police Department.
Jenny, or is it Janine? You're on WGN.
It's Janine, and I am going tomorrow with six of my friends to San Diego so we can celebrate our 50th this year. We all turn 50.
Are you looking forward to this reunion, or is that going to be terrifying?
Oh, no, not a reunion, but 50th birthday.
Oh, that's better. That's better. 50.
Yes. And we're going to see the Cubbies while we're out there, too, in San Diego.
Oh, wow. Have a great trip.
Thank you. First your lips and whistle,
that's the thing. All at home now. I always look on the bright. We do this on Fridays. You call 312-981-7200. Let's talk to Dan. You're on WGN. Dan, why are you smiling today, my friend? You're on the air.
Hey, John. How are you?
Good.
I'm being driven home by my wonderful wife after a very successful full knee replacement surgery at Hinsdale Hospital.
Oh, wow.
It's just a miracle. It's an absolute miracle for
You're
me.
You're literally on your way home right now, huh?
I'm in the car on my way home. Just got discharged.
Did you stay overnight, or did they do that today?
Two nights, actually. It was a two-night stay. I could have probably gone home yesterday.
You know what they're going to say now? You got to do that rehab. You got to follow up on the rehab, right?
That's right. Keep that leg moving.
Well, the next time you kick a soccer ball, you call back in on the bright side, okay?
I will do that for sure, John. Thanks.
Hey, congrats. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Enjoy your new knee. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you forgot. All right, your turn, Violetta. What have you got?
312, my 5-year-old daughter just lost her first tooth, and now she's a big girl. 619 says it's Pride Weekend in San Diego. We should go visit.
Oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And then 847, my bright side is my husband and I are moving closer to our family this weekend, which that could be. That's a bright side.
There's only one rule about the bright side. Let's review the only rule about the bright
side. She must be moving closer to her family.
We do not judge other people's happiness. Whatever your bright side is, that gets to be your bright side. For instance, what if somebody every week said, all right, here's my bright side. I'm going to eat barbecue ribs and play golf. That's making that person happy. We don't go,
is that how I sound?
Wait, do me. What do I sound like?
You sound like, oh, I'm going to have a lot of fun. I'm going to go to a concert. Always look on the right side of life. Sharon, this is John. You're on WGN Radio. Why are you smiling today, Sharon?
We're smiling, John. We're going to pick up our two grandsons from day camp and then going to take them for their special treat, which is their special treat. That's how they say it.
What do they call it?
A special feat.
Well, I wish them a special, whatever that was. I wish you all a really good weekend.
Thanks, you too.
Hey, Charlie, you're on the air. You're on WGN. What's your bright side? Why are you smiling, Chuck?
I had two throat surgeries in the past 3 months, but the doctor says tonight I can have a steak.
Oh, wow.
So I'm going for a steak dinner at my favorite restaurant in Naperville.
I'm trying to think of a steak restaurants in Naperville. Where do you go for a good steak in Naperville?
My favorite is Catch 35. They have the best steak in town.
I can still sing the Catch 35 jingle. Would you like me to?
I'd go for it.
How about Catch 35, where the prairie meets the ocean floor?
I know it's a fish restaurant, but they have a great steak. Always look on
the light side. Now I want steak.
I wonder if I helped or hurt the prospects for the folks at Catch 35 with my redoing their jingle. They still got one downtown, right? Over on Upper Wacker Drive?
Yeah, I think I've seen it.
Pam, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Pam? You're on the air.
Hi, I had skin cancer. I had an operation, and thank God they got it all out. So I'm smiling brightly today.
I'm so happy for you. You know, I struggle with that, too, and it's... you and I are living in a good time if you're going to suffer from something like that.
Well, thank you kindly. I appreciate your prayers.
Amen, girl. Must always face the curtain with a... We do this on Fridays. We say, hey, call in. Tell us some good news in your world while you're smiling, and we will smile with you. That is the bright side.
Wait, I have some.
Okay, wait.
630 says, I'm smiling because I have a beautiful litter of four-week-old standard poodle puppies. And then another 630 says, I didn't run out of wine, which not much information there, but you go.
Yeah, but if that's making you happy, if that's your bright side, then that's the bright side. We do it on Fridays. Today, sponsored by our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. So thank you for that. We'll do it again on Friday of next week. By the way, tomorrow I'm on the air between 10 a.m. and 12 noon. Remember that conversation about the damage you may or may not be doing to your ears because you're walking around town with earbuds. I think Roe and Anna DeVlantis do that. You see them coming back from the Starbucks and they've got those earbuds in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Now I got the wireless ones.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Wi-Fi?
Yeah. The Bluetooth.
Bluetooth. Bluetooth-driven ones.
Yeah. And they are, here's the problem I have with them, is that if you take one out and you don't put it in its little box, it's going to get lost.
Right.
And it's also going to do something funny to my privates, I think, if I put it in my pocket.
Oh,
just worried about it. I like to keep all the radio wave things in my back pocket. It has to get through my butt to get to this.
Oh, gosh, Ro. Yeah. What?
I'm trying to make here.
You know we're on the air, right,
what?
Ro?
Oh, I thought we were just having this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
The earbuds, though, they can get you in trouble. You're not paying attention in traffic, right?
I saw this today.
That's a thing.
With a guy with earbuds looking at his phone right around the Taste of Chicago area.
Yes.
And he just walked right in front of an ambulance.
Oh, geez.
And then ambulances in this town, I don't know if you noticed this.
You hear them.
Very loud.
Especially in the downtown area for some reason.
I have noticed that. Is that... Do you think they have louder ambulances
here
than
they do
elsewhere?
We do. This is a big deal, actually.
I'm glad you pointed that out.
Yes. They're at a... I don't quote me on the numbers here, but they're like at 124 decibels, and the average around the country is at 105 decibels, and the fire department and the union representing the firefighters says that we need that because there's too many dumbasses in this town. Yeah. And that's basically what they're saying.
Well, look at that guy. That at least the ambulance was going to be handy as he walked right in front of
the bank. Yeah, well, I was on its way to pick somebody else up.
Oh.
So, you know, you hit somebody on your way to go, you still got to go to that other thing.
Well, you could bum a ride. You could say, well, can I at least...
Get in line.
Get another one.
Yeah.
What are you guys doing today?
All right, well, it's very interesting. We got Michael Steele is going to join us, talk about the president in Europe. And we've got also Renato Mariotti is going to explain the indictments that were let down today by the fine folks at the Justice Department.
12 of them.
Against the Russians. That's very right. Specific. And these people that they thought were just hackers, the 400-pound guy in the basement, as Donald Trump said.
The Romanian, it
turns out to be GRU, Russian Secret Police. Folks, they have identified them. They have indicted them.
Extraditing is going to be pretty hard, though.
Right. They have to leave Russia to do it. Although the president could on Monday say, hey, hand those guys over. Oh, that was funny. That was funny. I mean, isn't it weird?
He certainly could. Well, he says he'll bring it up.
Wait a minute.
He said that today.
The people that have been indicted, where are they? I guess
they're in Russia.
So,
but there is no extradition treaty with Russia.
Right. I guess you got to indict them, but that doesn't mean anything's going to happen, huh? To them, right? I mean, we're going to indict these people.
Right.
What's the point?
No, it would be sanctions from Congress and political maneuvers.
And Rudy Giuliani says this proves that the president is totally innocent because they didn't indict him today. Which is, I think, and they should stop the investigation now because now it's apparently over. Thank you and good night.
God bless
There's
you, Rudy.
Nothing to see here.
You just keep trying. Just keep throwing it against the wall, Rudy. Just keep going, boy.
We'll see what happens here. Plus, we got a Carnival wagon. We got some music coming your way. Live Music Friday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
A lot of fun.
All right, have a really good show. All right. We'll be listening, kids.